All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of Time Out Talk. We're your host, Raphael Singer.
And Hunter Leon.
All right, so this is a very special episode. We have our preseason predictions for the standings in the league and also full predictions of the playoffs and our eventual champions. So this is going to be a fun episode. Buckle in, grab some popcorn, because we got a lot to get to.
Yeah, keep in mind, Rafa and I wrote completely separate lists, including, like, the wins we have for each team for the most part. So, like, I don't know what he wrote. He doesn't know what I wrote. We're just going to kind of free ball it, just talk about each team while we put them there. And this should be a fun one. I think that this is going to be pretty in-depth. And we haven't done one of these since last season. Also, disclaimer, we're probably the worst at predicting anything. So don't hold us accountable.
Oh, hey, I have a good feeling about this year. Man. This is the year.
this is our year. All right. This is our year.
And there's going to be plenty of hot takes, I'm sure. But let's start with the, I would say, the easier conference to predict, that being the Eastern Conference.
Okay.
Do you want to just go like team or like spot by spot or?
Yeah. I think we should do each of us as our one seed, then explain. Sure, yeah.
Let's do that.
Okay.
All right. One seed, Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Now, I have this. This is a team where I noted their wins specifically because I think this is a legendary team, and I have them winning 70 games. I think they're going to go 70-12.
I don't think so.
No, this is a team, even when only two of their stars are playing, I see them winning pretty much every matchup unless they're playing, like, the Bucks, the Lakers, the top echelon of teams. Even if only two of their stars are playing, I think they can still win every game very, like, easily.
Maybe, but I also think that this is a team where, first of all, you already noted that health is a recurring issue for this team. We don't know if Kyrie Irving, if his vaccination status is going to affect his eligibility, but also James Harden's health, KD's health. We don't know if the stars are going to be healthy. And also the regular season, this team, even if they were the eighth seed, they would be the favorites to come out of the East. So I don't think they're going to care enough about the regular season to win 70 or just 70 games, period.
I still think this is a legendary team. And even if they don't necessarily care that much, I think they have a lot of youth on this team that does care, like just a lot of energy on this team. And not just energy on this team, but energy that can still win you games. And I think that's a really important part of this. Their team's identity. And you say we're not sure really about the health of James Harden, the health of Kevin Durant. We saw last year Kevin Durant was pretty good throughout the whole season. I don't think Kevin Durant's health is going to be much of a concern, and neither do I think James Harden's health is going to be concerned, because James Harden has historically been a trooper through the NBA. Yeah, he's had his little scrapes and injuries here and there, but he's never had a massive injury. And ultimately, I think James Harden is going to be playing the entire season, maybe missing like five games.
Maybe you could be right about James Harden's health, because historically his track record is pretty good. But also, you got to think about it. If you're Steve Nash, some of these games, you're probably going to load manage your guys and trying to keep them healthy, because these regular season wins really don't mean all that much. So if the Nets are playing the Pistons or something, you know, you might not play Kyrie Irving or James Harden or KD, you know, and then.
So are you telling me they're going to lose that game?
They could. I mean,
okay. Even the stakes are
a lot different for both these teams.
Yeah, I understand, but I'm telling you, even if all three stars are out, I think they can still beat the Pistons fairly. Like I think they'd still have the odds in their favors. Like, that's how much I trust this team. Like, that's just what the faith I have in them. And you know, we don't necessarily need to agree there, but I just believe that can be a 70-win team, and I think they'll be a top-three historic team all time. Like, I think they can have that status if this year goes right for them.
That's true. I mean, I think we're both in agreement that the Nets are going to be really dominant. I have them getting 65 wins, so close, but I think they're just going to – their dominance is really going to show in the playoffs where it actually matters. So, right. Minor disagreement there, but we both had Nets one.
Number two seed. I have the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah.
Yep.
I think there's really –
60 games.
I have them winning 62, so pretty much the same thing. I just think, as far as the Bucks go here, you know, they're obviously now a proven team, and they're not built for the regular season, but they definitely have the capability of winning regular season games. You see Giannis has that grit, that determination. He wants to play his heart out every single minute he's on the basketball floor. He won't load manage. He's not going to sit out. That's just the kind of guy he is. So the Bucks are going to be winning every game they should be. And I think they're just going to play like we expect them to.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I think Giannis is going to dominate the regular season as usual. He's going to be an MVP candidate, going to be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, they're going to do their things. Chris Middleton might be an all-star. He might not be, but he's going to play at that caliber. And the rest of the supporting cast is so solid that I'm not concerned about the Bucks in the regular season. And I think they should be right up there with the Nets at the top of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is – not to say that this conference isn't a good conference or that it's a weak conference, but this is just definitely a top-heavy conference.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely say so. Like, the top is really, really strong, and then the bottom is pretty damn weak.
Yeah. So moving on to the next team, my three seed, I think this is where it might start differing a bit. But
I put the Miami Heat.
Yeah, actually, I also put the Heat. How many games do you have them winning?
I had them winning like 54.
I had them winning 55. Same thing. Okay. So difference
the viewers, here. The listeners are going to start thinking like, did they really make these lists separately? Because there's a lot of similarities between these two.
Hey, I mean, these are some pretty like – these aren't hot takes at all, you know.
Yeah, no, these ones are pretty uncontroversial.
Yeah, so I don't think there's a lot to say about the Heat here. I mean, they've just made a lot of good additions to their team, and they're going to be a real contender this year. So winning 55 games, you know, this team is definitely not a team that's necessarily built for the regular season. They're very gritty, very like a grinded out kind of team. Mm-hmm. But I could see games where you have two or three guys ejected and you lose because of that. Like, that could very well happen.
And, I mean, there's still a lot of youth on this team, you know, Tyler yeah. Hero, Duncan Robinson, Bam Adebayo, and Jimmy Butler, he always plays – I mean, he typically plays well in the regular season. And I Victor think the Miami Oladipo. Heat – Oladipo's on that team. I totally forgot for a second.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's going to be an incredible sixth man. Incredible. Oh, yeah.
There's going to be that some is your best sixth lineups.
Man. I actually didn't even think about that as my sixth man of the year candidate, but I could argue for Victor Oladipo. Anyway, yeah. That's a different conversation to have.
He's really flown under the radar because the he picked him up on a vet minimum, and I feel like everyone has sort of forgot about him. This is a guy who was an all-star a few years ago.
Yeah, very true. All right, moving on to the next one. I have the Hawks at the 4 seed.
I also have the Hawks at the 4 seed. I'm getting 50 wins.
I have 53. Okay. Pretty self-explanatory. I think this Hawks team is only going to get better with time, you know, more experience. And Trae Young has proven himself to be a great leader both in the regular season and the playoffs. So I'm excited to see this team, you know, being in Atlanta, but or being in Georgia, my bad. But I'm close to Atlanta. but my only concern with this team is maybe Trae Young's ability to draw fouls will be limited, but I don't think that's the difference in the winning games.
The rule changes completely. The Hawks don't even make the playoffs because of the rule change.
The rule change happens. The Hawks are the 15th seed. They get the number one overall pick. Trae Young is traded. Loses all of his value.
No, but I totally agree with you in all seriousness. I think the Hawks, they're only going to get better. I mean, the young players are just going to get more time to shine and develop. I'm excited to see Cam Reddish on this team.
Yes. Yes,
because absolutely. We saw brief glimpses of what he could do in the playoffs that season, and he looked like a guy who could be a future all-star. And to add him in this young core alongside Trae Young, alongside Kevin Huerter, alongside Clint Capella, this is going to be a scary team. Yeah. And
I'm also excited to see
do really well.
Oh, sorry. I'm also excited to see DeAndre Hunter develop as a player. I think he looked pretty good last year, like a 3-and-D type of guy, and I think he's only going to get better, and he just fits the identity of the team as well.
Yeah, I mean, this team all around is just – it's a team built for the future, but also a team built for right now because they have so much youth and they're going to get – so they're going to be so good in a few years as that core continues to develop. But as of now, they're already a top four team in the East, in my opinion.
Absolutely. So moving on to number 5 seed, who do you have at your 5?
5, I have the Chicago Bulls, and I feel like you're
okay. The same. Yes.
After this one, though, I promise there's going to be some differences because I have a sort of controversial pick.
I don't know. Maybe. Actually, I think I might know what your pick is, but I'm not. I'm going to keep it quiet.
Keep it quiet.
Yeah, so I think the Bulls, I had winning 47 games. I had them just, like, around that, like...
Yeah, I had 46.
Okay, yeah, so like... same thing. Kind of just, like, I think the Bulls are going to be a team that... Like, they're going to be what we expect for the most part. They're going to be a team that's really successful in what they wanted. They're going to be a playoff team. They're going to be a mid-level playoff team, and they're going to definitely be an exciting team to watch. But I think, like, as far as just looking at their skill cap or their, like, ceiling for just level of play isn't necessarily as high as some of the other teams here and some of the other teams below them even.
Yeah, that's true. I just think that this team, the star power that they have now, I don't want to put too much weight on preseason, but in their first preseason game against the Cavs, they looked so dominant. They looked like they already had so much cohesion. I love the fit of the players on this team. I think that Lonzo Ball, you know, Zach LaVine, the Balzac. Yeah, you know, Lonzo Ball, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola
Balzac, Vucevic.
But oh my god, you're making me lose my train of thought. I'm just saying that I think the Bulls are going to be really good because, you know, you just have so many offensive weapons. And
what a hot take here. The Bulls are going to be good because they have offensive weapons.
Okay, well, you kept saying the Balzac over and over again. That made me lose my train of thought. All right,
fine, fair enough. Moving on.
Yeah, we've said enough about the Bulls.
Yeah, we have. Moving on to the sixth seed. I think this is, you said you're going to have some controversy here. Yeah. So let's hear it. What's your take? I have
the Boston Celtics.
Okay, let's hear it. Let's hear why.
Okay, so this is all predicated on Tatum taking that next step up. You know, we've seen him jump to an all-star, then to a all-star starter, you know, one of the best forwards in the league. I think next year he's going to take that jump again to being an MVP candidate. I think he's going to carry this team. Yes, they didn't make many big changes in the offseason, but they did make some great additions around the edges. Dennis Schroeder on that deal is a steal. And I know everyone makes fun of him for fumbling the bag, and rightly so, but Schroeder on that deal is very good and really fills that point guard gap that they need. And Al Horford on this team is, again, going to be really, really beneficial. You know, they need that big man presence that they've sort of been lacking. And they're also going to have Robert Williams there to provide some youth. You got Cantor coming back, Peyton Pritchard's. I like him and I like his game. Grant Williams too. And Jabari Parker, who was pretty good for them last year. I just think that, and also Jaylen Brown, you know, he wasn't healthy in the playoffs last season and he's going to be healthy coming into next season. I think that this team has what it takes, and I think it's going to be really spearheaded by a Tatum MVP season. But that, like, okay. I don't think he's going to win the award, but I think he'll be in contention for it.
All right. Yeah. I have the Knicks. I think that's a more traditional pick.
Yeah.
But I also think that you're undervaluing the Knicks if you're putting the Celtics above them. Like, I understand the Celtics are going to be a good team, but we did see a lot of their pitfalls. They still haven't filled their void of having a traditional center or even any presence in a big man, which definitely Robert Williams, we talked.
Al Horford.
That's not enough. I'm telling you, Al Horford is not enough. I promise you.
I'm saying Robert Williams. He's also gonna take a jump.
Yeah, but Robert Williams played. He played some solid minutes for him. He wasn't their starter or whatever or anything, but he had solid minutes for them, and you saw that wasn't enough. And yes, even if he makes a jump, I still think you're losing a lot of like that. That's going to be a weakness in your team that I think teams are going to exploit. So I think that I have them a little later on this list, but let me get back to the Knicks a little more. I think Knicks, obviously, we saw last year was a breakout year for them. They have a great team composition. Adding Kemba Walker is going to be the exact veteran presence that they need in a starting point guard. Can you imagine the combo of having Kemba Walker start and then having to go off Derrick Rose off the bench? That is going to be killer. So
Evan,
I think
Fournier too.
Evan Fournier, yeah, they have a lot of guard depth. Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, and then you can't even forget about Julius Randle. Julius Randle obviously had an MVP caliber season last year. He was top three in MVP voting. And I don't think he's going to have a better season than he did last year, but I do think he's going to continue to put up similar numbers that he did last year. So, I mean, that's all they really need for like to stay at that spot. I think other teams are getting better, which is why I don't have them higher on this list, but I think they definitely got better, just not to the extent that some of these other teams did. But I don't think, like, why I don't have that the Celtics making that jump is because I don't think they got better to the extent that some of these other teams got better comparative to last year.
That's fair. That's a fair point. And I will say, no, I am very big on the Knicks as well. Like, I think they're going to have a really good season. And also, a guy you forgot to mention was Mitchell Robinson coming back. He was out last season. That's a big piece for them. You know, he's a guy who's going to get you 2 or 3 blocks a game. But I know I definitely agree with that. And I think my reasoning for having the Celtics higher than the Knicks is just because I'm anticipating a breakout season, if you want to call it that, from Jason Tatum. It's really predicated on his play. And if he doesn't live up to my expectations, yeah, the Celtics could be the 7th seed, or they could be like the 10th seed. I could see that too. But I think that Tatum is really going to put this team on his back and make the jump that we expect him to make.
Okay, so who do you have at your 7th seed?
The New York Knicks.
Okay, I have the Pacers.
That is a great pick, because the Pacers are a team where I think they can either be like you said, the 7th or 6th seed even, or they could be like the 12th, 13th seed.
No, I don't see them being the 12th, 13th seed. I can see them being the 10th seed. I see them being between 6 and 10, which is a wide range. But I could see them being anywhere in there. I think this is going to be a good year for them, considering that they're going to
get... You know what? You know what's funny? Of course you have the Pacers so high. Because DeMontis Sabonis is on this fucking team.
You know, I was hoping we could avoid that. I was hoping we could avoid this. But if you insist, I think DeMontis Sabonis is going to be the MVP. No. but in all seriousness, no, I think this is going to be a great year for them. They're going to get TJ Warren back. You're going to see, another breakout season from Caris LeVert. Not necessarily like breakout, but he's going to have an improved numbers. This is his team. I think that the Indiana Pacers are going to make that very clear. They're going to be like, this was Victor Oladipo's team. Now it's your team. We want you to be our star. It's very much Sabonis' team as well. But in the modern NBA, I think oftentimes it's better to have a guard leader than a center leader. And there are exceptions to that rule in Jokic and like Embiid. But those guys are obviously a far better talent than DeMontis Sabonis.
only you would throw DeMontis Sabonis' name up there with Jokic and Embiid.
No, I'm saying that he's not that caliber, okay?
Okay,
but like you're gonna get TJ Warren back, which is a good 16 to 20 point production per game, and you're also going to see Miles Turner be great again, like he is every year. So I can see this team making a little bit of noise.
Honestly, that's fair, and I think that I like the Pacers a lot. Just the biggest concern for me is their bench, because that starting lineup is really great: Malcolm Brogdon, Caris LeVert, TJ Warren, DeMontis Sabonis, Miles Turner. But then coming off the bench, you're going to have to rely on big production. Justin Holiday, TJ McConnell, O'Shea Brissett, the rookie Chris Duarte. Like, I like some of these players, don't get me wrong, but is that a team that's going to be the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference that has a lot of great teams in it? I don't think so. So that's my thing with the Pacers.
Okay, so I think you don't have to explain too much about the Knicks, because I feel the explanation is going to be the same. So moving on to the 8th seed, I have the Celtics.
I have the Sixers.
Okay, yeah. So just quick note, I didn't have the Sixers making the playoffs. Just
interesting. That's
note.
That's a lukewarm take, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't think that's the hottest take in the world, but I don't think that that's something people expect. So just... real quick, Celtics, I just think they're going to be in a similar situation to last year. I think Jason Tatum will improve. I think Jalen Brown will improve. But I don't think it's going to be to the extent to which you believe or like to what you're betting on. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to have much difference there aside from that. So if you want to talk a little bit about your pick, go ahead.
Yeah, so I put the Sixers at the A seed, because I think even when Ben Simmons is going to be gone, and I'm just assuming that he's going to get traded, because that's what it's looking like. First of all, the Sixers are going to get pieces back in return for him. And they're going to be pieces that are going to be able to contribute now and help the team. And that's why I'm really uncertain about my pick, because this is a team that was the 1 seed last season, you know? So to sort of say that they're not going to make the playoffs, as you're saying, or for me to put them at the 8th seed, just because Ben Simmons is gone. They're going to get pieces back, and the structure of this team is still really good. And Embiid is probably going to have a season where he puts up MVP-type numbers. You have guys like Seth Curry, you know, Danny Green, Tobias Harris still on this team. They added Andre Drummond, who is going to provide you some value in the regular season for as much as we make fun of him. And this team is just solid. It's a solidly constructed team. It's well coached. And I would not be surprised if they ended up as the four seed, you know, because you have an MVP caliber player in Joel Embiid that could really take you wherever. But I just think I put them at the A seed because I think that they're going to really struggle finding a new identity with Ben Simmons being gone. And it's just going to take a lot of adjustment. And also Embiid is injury prone. So that's why I have them at eight.
Mm-hmm. I have them at the ninth seed for the same exact reasons. I don't think it makes much of a difference. And just noting, we're not really saying the wins win amounts right now. I don't think it really matters that much for these lower teams, but I said 40 and 42 for the Sixers. I think they're just going to be right around that 500 mark.
That's funny. I put 42 and 40.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the Sixers.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Talk about the Sixers.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, just kind of the same reasons that you have. I think that even if they do get some value back, it's not going to be nearly the amount that you're getting like with the production from Ben Simmons. Other teams can take advantage of them easily because they're in a struggling situation, especially if Ben Simmons continues to refuse to play for them. And teams are really going to be able to exploit that. So they might have to end up settling for future as opposed to now assets because it doesn't look like anyone wants to sell now assets across the league. That kind of seems to be a consensus. It's kind of reports I've been hearing. I'm not sure, you know, but I don't really think there's anyone who's selling their current assets that wants Ben Simmons. I think it's just gonna be an interesting situation, and I'm not necessarily sure that they're gonna get exactly what they want for Ben Simmons, which is why I have them not even making the playoffs.
That's fair. And I guess that's the thing with the Sixers. It just all sort of depends on what happens with Simmons, because either they're going to be the fourth seed or they're not going to make the playoffs. Like, both scenarios are equally plausible because of how tenuous the situation is with Simmons.
Exactly. I agree with you there. So who do you have at your ninth seed?
Ninth seed, I have the Charlotte Hornets. And I think
that's a hot take.
Because they were there last season.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit more of a hot take this year. I think last year they were the 10th seed. But I think this season you have a lot of different teams. Like, we'll get into it a little more, but I just think that one's a little more interesting.
Well, look, I think that you have the rookie of the year, LaMelo Ball, right? He's going to improve. He's only going to get better. We know how he can lead a team. When Gordon Hayward was healthy on this team, they were like a 4-5 seed. And he's going to come back. He's going to be healthy. You're adding a guy like Kelly Oubre, who's going to provide great 3-and-D play for you. You have a great rookie in James McKnight, who's going to provide immediate production. And then this team just has a lot of youth and a lot of talent. You know, Miles Bridges, PJ Washington, even Jalen McDaniels can give you some good production off the bench. Kai Jones from Texas, he's a guy who I really like and is going to help shore up that center position. So I think that This is a league that's sort of ran by youth now. And I think that their frenetic, fast-paced style of play is going to allow them to make it to the ninth seed.
All right. I think that's fair. I mean, I wouldn't call it like a necessarily super hot take. Like you said, I kind of call it a lukewarm take. But at my 10th seed, I have the Wizards at 38 and 44.
That's fair.
I think they're going to be below 500 team for sure. I think they're definitely in a worse position than they were last year in some senses, but I also think there's other ways that they're better off. I think that this year is going to allow a little more Bradley Beal thriving. I think it's going to be I think having Spencer Dinwiddie, more a traditional point guard who's going to pass the ball, is definitely going to help out Bradley Beal. And that's also going to help out.
Are you saying Russell Westbrook doesn't pass the ball?
No, I'm saying somebody who doesn't have a high usage rate.
Okay, sorry.
That came off wrong. I should have said, you know, somebody who's not taking the ball away from him.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I think you could see Bradley Beal average 36 points per game, having a traditional point guard, because I mean, John Wall also had a very high usage rate. He hasn't gotten to be the star where he was the sole one who really had the ball. I mean, he had the year where John Wall went down and he was by himself, but he hadn't really broken out of his shell at that point. So I think this is going to be his first year where we really see him in the brightest stage for himself. And I think there's a lot of complementary pieces on this team. And it's very offensively loaded, which is why I think that they're going to be a little bit better off than the Hornets, who I have at my 11 seed. But first, let's hear who your 10 seed is.
Okay, so my 10th seed is the Indiana Pacers. And we already talked about the Pacers. I think that they have a great starting lineup. They have a lot of, like, star power. They're a very top-heavy team. It's just the bench, I think, is questionable. And, you know, this is another team that dealt with health issues. Obviously, TJ Warren was out for the whole season. Miles Turner was out for extended periods of time. And so it's a question of if they're going to stay healthy. And even when they are completely healthy, is the bench sufficient to carry them far throughout the regular season? And I don't think that it is. So that's why I have them ending up at the 10th seed.
Yep, I think that's fair. I mean, there's not much to say there. But at my 11th seed, like I said, I have the Hornets. Who do you have at your 11th seed?
Okay, so my 11th seed is, this is actually kind of a hot take. I have the Toronto Raptors at the 11th seed.
Really?
Okay.
I don't think, at this point, there's not much you could do for hot takes. I think this team's going to win 32 games.
That's a hot take, man. I thought they were going to win 31.
I think
that the Raptors, sorry, let me just say the quick
question
about the Raptors. I think, yes, they lost Kyle Lowry, and yes, they're not the powerhouse Raptors of old, but still, I think they have a lot of great players in this team. Pascal Siakam is still on this team, and Fred VanVleet, OG Anunoby, so like remnants of the title-winning team. And then you have younger guys who are only going to keep getting better, you know, Chris Boucher, Gary Trent Jr., you got the rookie, Scotty Barnes. Sorry, I was blanking.
Yeah.
And he's sort of a question mark, but I think he's going to be pretty good. This team is really well coached. I love Nick Nurse and Goran Dragic, who may or may not play for them, but I think they're going to get something in return if they do ship him out somewhere. So,
I think that's really fair. I mean, Raptors still have the bones there. I think Pascal Siakam definitely had an off season last year, so we could see them do a little bit better than they did last year. Moving on, or talking about my 11 seed, the Hornets, you touched a lot on the Hornets, but I just want to say that, like, I think they're going to be good, and I love this team. I really do, but I just don't really see a world where they are able to outcompete some of these other teams. I think everybody's really going to take a step up, but I think they need, like, not only Gordon Hayward and LaMelo Ball, but I think they need one more piece. Like, to give a comparison, like, I think they need, like, to a Jaren Jackson Jr. to your John Morant. Like, that's what I think they need for, like, LaMelo Ball. They need to give him someone, just somebody to throw the ball up to, just lob it to, just a big man, somebody he can trust. Doesn't necessarily even need to be a big man, but just one more guy to be the guy that he can trust. And I think Gordon Hayward can be that guy, but I don't think he's necessarily the guy.
Fair enough. And, I mean, the Hornets, there is a lot of youth on that team, which does create some questions, especially when there's more proven teams around the league. So for the next four teams, which are, I think for both of us, or for you, it's the Raptors, Cavs, Pistons, and Magic. For me,
yes.
Replace the Raptors with the Wizards. We can just list them off. We don't have to go into depth because, like, we're not going to be here arguing about, like, who should be the 14th seed, you know?
Yeah.
So
I have Raptors, Cavs, Pistons, Magic in that exact order.
I have Wizards, Cavs, Pistons, Magic. So, yeah.
I just want to say real quick, I had the Magic get 16 wins. I think they are going to be absolutely, like, an abomination. I really do. I think that, I mean, who are they really starting? Like, I had to think about their starting lineup, and this is really rough. Like, Mo Bamba and, like, Cole Anthony, maybe Markelle Fultz, Jalen Suggs. That is not – this is – we're not talking – this is not a 20 – this is not a 20-win team we're talking here. This is – they will have a top three pick next year, 100%.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. I also – So yeah. You want to move
– Moving on to the West –
Wait, let's go. You want to go to the playoffs first, or
no, no, no. Let's West. Why are we going to go to the playoffs already?
We only mentioned
one conference.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. So, anyway, Western Conference seeding. I think this is going to be a little more tricky. I think there's going to be a little more rockiness to this one.
Yeah.
But at my number, I'm going to hear who your number one seed is.
So number one, I had the Utah Jazz.
Yeah. Same here.
I had them winning 70 games.
Okay. I think that's not that much of a hot take, and I'll let you explain why, but since it's your pick.
Yeah, so someone made this analogy of the Utah Jazz to the, like, 2015 Golden State Warriors, who are led by a flashy star player who really thrives in that system, shoots the three ball a lot, and has a really solid team full of shooters and a system full of movement and a great defense to back it up. And that's just a recipe for winning regular season games. We know the Jazz dominate in the regular season. They've done it the past two seasons, and I think it's going to continue. And they're only going to get better. Donovan Mitchell keeps emerging, or keeps growing as a player. And, you know, we know what he can do. Rudy Gobert is going to shore it down. He's going to be in Defensive Player of the Year talks, as per usual. And while I don't think they made any big additions in the offseason, I'm trying to think right now.
It's the same team, pretty much. It's the same exact team. Like, I don't even think they lost anything. I just think they stayed the way they are.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have, like, Mike Conley still there. You're going to have Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles.
Mm-hmm.
They did get Eric Pascal and Hassan Whiteside.
Hassan Whiteside will be productive for them.
Yeah, absolutely. he's gonna rack up, you know, a bunch of blocks every game. And he's just going to be a very useful backup to Rudy Gobert. And I think that this team just has what it takes to win 70 games.
Yeah, I agree with you that they have that capability. I had them at a little safer of a win number at 63. I think they do have that capability to be winning a 70-game winning team. I think they're built for the regular season. While I do think they're going to have more playoff success this year, I definitely think that they are built for the regular season and that it's a great system for Donovan Mitchell, and it thrives. And I think we saw, like, in the Olympics, how to make Rudy Gobert thrive. And I honestly think, like, I can't be the only person, or I can't be, like, just a guy who's a cold crap. Rudy Gobert just looked like the best player on the court at all times. What did France do to make that happen? And I think the Jazz are going to honestly look at that and say, how can we make Rudy Gobert look like an offensive superstar, not just a defensive one?
So is what you're saying Rudy Gobert will be in MVP conversations?
No, I'm not saying that, but I think the Jazz are going to – I'm definitely not saying that. What kind of words are you putting in my mouth? But I definitely think – I'm just
interpreting what you're saying.
I think they're definitely going to find a system that might also suit him a little better, now knowing the, I guess, capabilities he has in a different league. Moving on to my number two seed, I have the Golden State Warriors.
Interesting. Okay. That's fair. I have the Phoenix Suns.
Okay. Yeah.
And your pick?
Yeah. So I actually have them tied at the same amount of wins. I just have the Warriors above the Suns. But I both have them winning 59 games. So I'm calling them even. I'm just playing Warriors at two, Suns at three. But I'll just explain my Warriors pick first. I think this is going to be Steph's greatest statistical season ever. I do not think there's any way in any doubt in my mind that Steph is going to have a worse season than he had in 2015, 2016. I think this will be a better season for him statistically than his unanimous MVP season. Do I think he's going to win MVP? He was my pick. I don't know, but I do think he will have that great of a season. We saw last year he was on pace to break his three-point record. I think he'll break it this year. And having Klay Thompson back will only make that easier. Even if Klay Thompson isn't the same person until the playoffs, just having him on the court automatically makes him a three-point threat, and they can't double-team Steph like they were doing last year, which is going to make his life infinitely easier. And you also have a lot of young talent on this team that's going to bring a lot of life to this Warriors team that maybe some of the veterans, they do have, like, that are like that want to win. But that's not necessarily as like urgent as some of these young guys who just want to give all their energy to the regular season as well. And obviously, you have your defensive anchor, Draymond Green, who's really going to set them up. And I think the Warriors will not only be a top offensive team in the league, but I think they will have the capability to be a top defensive team in the league. I sincerely think the Warriors, I think they could be a top three defensive team. No joke.
That's fair. I just think, for me, I don't have the Warriors that high because Klay Thompson will not be coming back immediately. So I think, and when he does come back, I think there is going to be kind of an adjustment period. So I think that that's going to hurt their standings a little bit because they're going to be struggle to find their footing at the beginning of the season. So I think they're going to be really good. And I agree with everything you said. Maybe not the Steph's best season ever. Like, I'm not so sure about that, but I do think he's going to have a really solid season. But yeah, I had the Warriors a little bit lower. And to just explain my Phoenix Suns pick really quick, there's not really much to say, you know. Phoenix Suns, excellent core. They went to the finals. So, you know, you have Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Mikal Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, Jay Crowder still there. And then the bench is so solid, campaign. You know, you got a bunch of other guys coming off the bench who are going to provide a lot of impact. This team is just really well coached. I love Monty Williams. They're not built for the regular season, but they have a lot of players who thrive in the regular season. And I just expect them to continue their momentum from their finals run into this year and win. I had them winning like 61 games.
Okay. So moving on to the three seed, I had the Phoenix Suns tied technically with the two seed with the Warriors. I'm calling them the three seed, though. Same exact reasons you said. They're proven, not necessarily built for the regular season, but play well in the regular season. DeAndre Ayton's going to take steps up. Mikal Bridges is going to take steps up. So yeah, this is going to be a good team. Campaign, I didn't even mention campaign. Look how good he looked in this postseason. Like, he just, when Chris Paul was like out, when Chris Paul was injured, even when Chris Paul was just on the bench, this man was lighting it up and doing his job just as good as Chris Paul. And I don't take that lightly. That is quite an incredible feat to be doing Chris Paul's job just as well as he is, like, as far as just if pure efficiency standards goes and like getting the ball where it needs to be, getting it in the hoop. He was balling out there. And I think the Suns definitely unlocked something and they're going to use that this season.
Definitely. I mean, you just sort of took the words out of my mouth. I will say that, you know, I had DeAndre Ayton as a dark horse defensive player of the year candidate. And I think if the Suns finish at a high seed and have one of the top defenses spearheaded by DeAndre Ayton, I think he will be in contention because as viewers, as fans of the game, we love to hear new faces and have new stories. So I think DeAndre Ayton, he's a fresh new face, been to the finals already. So it's not like this is just some regular season fluke. I think he could definitely be up there in contention.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see this being a season where DeAndre Ayton can maybe average 23 to 25 points, maybe 10 to 12 really? Rebounds. I could see a 23.
That's a little high for me.
I'm saying I could see him really having a thriving season, just like just pure statistically, almost like a young, not to say that he's Anthony Davis by any caliber, but I think he could put up statistics kind of similar to a young Anthony Davis.
I don't know if I fully agree with that because I just think their games are so different. Anthony Davis always had an outside shot. And DeAndre Ayton is sort of – yeah, sorry, go.
No, I'm saying purely just like points, rebounds, like that kind of thing. I'm not saying – like maybe Boogie is a little bit better of a comparison, like a young Boogie.
I don't know. These comparisons are kind of – I would say
– I'm not saying he's that good of a player.
No,
like,
I'm not comparing him to them. I would say statistically. I would say DeAndre Ayton's game – reminds me more of like, even statistically, would remind me more of like a young Walmart version of Dwight Howard, just because their games are more similar. Because
okay, that's fair. That's a lot more fair.
He doesn't really create his own shot, doesn't really have a perimeter shot, and sort of relies on others to create the offense for him, you know?
Yeah. So who was your three seed?
I have the Lakers at the three seed. Okay. I think that there's just so much talent. And yes, they're going to probably have injuries, but I think that Anthony Davis is going to take a really big step up. There's been a lot of reports that people in the organization are saying, like, this is your team now. I think AD is going to have a great season. I think he's going to really prove all the doubters wrong and look like the best player on the team now and be in Defensive Player of the Year talks as he should be and just really lead this team, while LeBron, he's going to sort of coast, I think. I don't think he's going to be in MVP conversations because he's in year 19 now. That's sort of an unfair expectation. But all the talent and veteran presence on this team, you have Carmelo Anthony, you have DeAndre Jordan, you have Dwight Howard, Rondo. This is going to be a really good team, and I have them winning like 59 games.
Yep. Okay, you have them winning 59 games. I had the Lakers at my four seed. I think like the Lakers are going to be a good team, but I mean, there's definitely people putting the Lakers at their one seed, their two seed. And I kind of just want to break down why I am not putting them there. I have them winning 54 games. But I just think this is a team that has going to have a large adjustment period. I'm talking maybe it's going to take to the midpoint of the season to have consistent long win streaks for this team. I think this team is very good, has a lot of talent, great on paper. But you still have to find a way for Russell Westbrook to fit in this team. You know, this trio. Russell Westbrook is a ball dominant person, a ball dominant player, playing with LeBron. That might change. I'm not sure if LeBron's going to play more off ball, stick around the perimeter a little more than he's used to. But I don't think this is a team built around Russell Westbrook. It's a team built around Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And Russell Westbrook has to fit into that picture. So I think we'll see a little more how that works as the season develops. And keep in mind, this is a team that only has three players that they had last season: LeBron, AD, and THT. And THT only started in four games last season. So he's not the player that knows the system like some, like he knows the system, obviously, but he isn't like the guy who knows it the best.
I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like he isn't KCP. He wasn't there for 4 years and played in the starting lineup. Started in those finals games, won the ring, like playing, like he has just started really breaking out last season. He just started getting minutes. So he's very new to this. So you really only have LeBron and AD, who obviously are the best players you can possibly have in a duo in the league, like my personal best duo. But I mean, you still have so many new guys. It's going to be an entirely different system. Even to them, Frank Vogel has a lot to figure out. So I just think that they're not going to do as hot as some people might have.
Those are fair concerns. And I think the fit is definitely going to be something that's going to take some adjusting to. I just think that the talent and Anthony Davis's play is going to carry them through it. And I think that they're just the Western Conference is a little bit it's weaker, you know, this time around because of injuries. No Jamal Murray, which I'm going to touch on later. No Kawhi Leonard. So there's going to be a lot more room for error. And especially because the Lakers' strength of schedule at the beginning of the season is pretty easy. They play a lot of non-playoff contenders. I think that they're going to have those games to figure it out and make the adjustment work. And I think LeBron James, he knows how to work with other players. So the fit is really not that big of a concern for me long term. And that's why I think throughout the course of the season, they're going to do very well. And just a quick thing, my four seed is the Warriors. So we can just move on to the five seed.
Okay. My five seed, very quickly talked about them. I have the Denver Nuggets at winning 51 games. No, there is no, yes, there is no Jamal Murray. But at the same time, we still had the former MVP, Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. He's still there. He's not going away anytime soon. And not only is he not going away, but this is a very well-constructed roster with a lot of depth and a lot of veteran presence. But while still having young talent, Michael Porter Jr. is going to have a great season. I think he'll have a breakout season, possibly be the most improved player. We could see him averaging upwards of 20 points a game. I think that's very realistic, being he's going to be the number two guy. Well, Jamal Murray's out, we could see his efficiency increase. I mean, Will Barton is a great player. Aaron Gordon is a solid piece. So I think this team is going to definitely have some good moments. And I think they're a little bit more built for the regular season as well, just with their play style and very unique team. I think this isn't this is a team you have to kind of prep for a little bit more than this, some other teams necessarily playing against Nikola Jokic. It causes a lot of mismatches, which I think gives them a great advantage in the regular season when you're playing against a lot more traditional bigs or even unicorns who don't have a lot of speed. So I think that they innately have an advantage even without Jamal Murray because of the unique construction of this roster.
That's fair. And I mean, I think that Jamal Murray's absence is going to hurt them a lot more than you think. And I think that Michael Porter Jr., yes, he's going to have a breakout season and he might win most improved player, but I don't think that's going to really fill the void. And so I think they're going to struggle a lot more. And yeah, I think Nikola Jokic is really a guy that you want as your player to, if your like co-star goes down, because Nikola Jokic knows how to create offense for other guys. Like, he's not a guy who you just give him the ball and it's gone until you're back on defense. He's going to get other guys involved and really run the offense through himself. So
making a great point for the five seed here.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of am. Maybe, but I think the teams that I have above them, it's just like so hard to put the Nuggets above. So
I understand that. So who do you have at your five?
At the five, I have the Clippers, actually. I think the Clippers, okay. You want to talk about a guy who might win most improved player? Terrence Mann.
That's a solid pick.
Solid pick, right? But I think Paul George is going to be an MVP candidate. We talked about him as a dark horse. The Clippers are really well constructed. They're riding a lot of momentum, too. They had a great postseason, making the Western Conference Finals for the first time in franchise history. Serge Ibaka is going to be coming back. Paul George, I think, is going to be playing, as I said, in MVP form. And there's just a lot of depth on this team. I think that they're just gonna do well in the regular season. Tyronn Lue knows how to make Paul George into his best self. So I think that's really gonna push them forward and allow them to win 51 games, which is what I had their win total at.
Yep, I think that's really fair. I actually also have my six seed. That was your five seed. Now moving on to my six seed.
Yeah.
My apologies. So at my six seed, I have the Dallas Mavericks. I have them winning 51 games. So, I mean, you can explain a little bit if you want, but just really quickly, I think that it's pretty self-explanatory. Luka's always going to be MVP quality numbers, MVP candidate, superstar player. And as long as you have Luka, you can't be anything less or anything. Yeah. And you can't be anything less than like the 6-7 seed, even if your roster construction around him isn't necessarily great. And I think they're going to better utilize Kristaps Porzingis with a new coaching staff, having Jason Kidd there. I think he's going to figure out some new strategies, just a fresh mind. And I think Kristaps is also looking at this year from a better perspective. So I think we're going to see a lot more of a better fit for this team.
I actually just made a quick revision to my list because when you said Jason Kidd, it sort of escaped my mind that he's now the coach of the Mavericks. And I was like, wow, Jason Kidd is a terrible coach in the NBA. So I originally had the Mavericks at six. I put the Nuggets there instead. I don't like Jason Kidd as a coach. I think he sort of ruined the Bucks, ruined the Nets. Every team he touches sort of turns to trash. I think Luka, yes, he's going to do phenomenal. But talk about teams that stagnated or didn't really improve that much. The Mavericks are one of them. What do they do in the offseason? They got rid of Josh Richardson. They got Reggie Bullock. What else they do? Nothing. That's it. That's literally all they did. So I think that, yes, Luka's going to be phenomenal, but the Western Conference is not a conference to play around in, even though we keep talking about it as weak this year. But I think that the Nuggets are just – they will be better for all the arguments I made earlier.
All right. Well, that's fair if you just think that he has, like, the cheese touch.
I do. I think that the Mavericks are going to be – I think that they're really going to struggle under Jason Kidd.
Okay, that's fair. Moving on to my seventh seed, I had the Clippers winning 48 games. Who do you have?
I had my seventh seed also winning 48 games, but I had the Trailblazers.
Interesting. Okay. really quickly, I'm going to explain Clippers. I know you already mainly explained it, but I've mainly same reasons as you. I just think that the other teams on this list are going to have more games. Like, where it's like, if Paul George doesn't really pop off in a game, it's likely that they have a higher chance of losing. And I don't think Paul George is going to pop off in every game. Yes, I do think that he will be able to for a consistent amount of the season, but he'll have off games. He'll have games that aren't exactly like the best. So I just think that they're going to be at the seventh seed, but I do think that this is going to be a lot more than people expected from them. I think some people are expecting them to not even make the playoffs without Kawhi. So I do have a lot of faith in this team.
Definitely. And I mean, you sort of just reiterated what I said, so no need to add on to the Clippers. I will say, though, that I think the Trailblazers, new coach with Chauncey Billups, he's a big question mark. I don't know how he's going to be because he's never been a head coach before, but Damian Lillard is always going to perform in the regular season and in the playoffs. I'm big on Dame. I think he's going to lead this team to the seventh seed. You still have CJ McCollum there, still have Jusuf Nurkić. They got Norman Powell, and they got Larry Nance Jr., which is not a big piece, but I think he's going to be important. I think he's going to play a good role in this team. They're not that strong of a team. I don't think they're going to be a title contender, but I think that Dame is going to have another phenomenal season. And I think another thing that I think is that the Trailblazers are going to realize the urgency of the situation and are going to try and go all in, either moving CJ McCollum, trading Nurkić in a package, bringing in Ben Simmons, doing something to shake it up to revitalize the Blazers. So I think that they might struggle in the beginning of the season, make a big change, and then end up at that seventh seed. That's how I predict their season is going to go.
Okay, cool. Moving on to the eighth seed, I had the Trailblazers, pretty self-explanatory. You just explained all that. I have them winning 44 games, so I don't need to explain any of that. But if you want to explain your eighth seed, you're more than welcome.
I just had the Mavericks, not big on Jason Kidd, so all right. Just leave it at that.
We explained that. Moving on to my nine seed, though, I have the Timberwolves winning 42 games.
That's a great pick. That's a really good pick. I really think the Timberwolves are going to do something. Originally, I had them at my eighth seed, but I think the West is just, like, there are just so many teams better than them. I think that if the Timberwolves get Ben Simmons, they're 100% going to be in the play-in, but I'm not sure that they will. So I think
they're 100% in the plan without Ben Simmons. I think as the team is constructed right now, they're 100% in plan.
You think? Are they better than the Memphis Grizzlies?
Yes.
You think they're better than the Memphis Grizzlies, who made the playoffs last season?
Yes. Yes. I do. Why? I think. Well, they lost. We can go into the Grizzlies a little bit later, but they lost Grayson Allen, who was a big help to them. And I'm also confused by their loss of Jonas Valanciunas for Steven Adams, because, I mean, you're losing spacing and you're kind of just getting a traditional big man, which, yes, Jonas Valanciunas is, but now you get Steven Adams, who doesn't know the system as well. And Jonas Valanciunas was a big piece for them. He was really important defensively and offensively. So I think that's going to be a hit to their regular season. Whereas the Timberwolves can only go up. Karl Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell did not play together pretty much at all last season.
And Anthony Edwards.
And Anthony Edwards is going to improve. And you have Sadiq Bey. What am I saying? Malik Beasley is who I meant to say. I don't know why the hell I said Sadiq Bey, but Malik Beasley.
Patrick Beverley.
I think this team is very well constructed. I think they had a good offseason for what you'd expect. I don't think anybody expected them to make any moves, and they got some good ones. I think they definitely have a higher ceiling. And Kat is going to have a great season. I can feel it. Kat is going to be back to his former glory. We're going to be talking about him as a top three, top four center again. I seriously think that Kat will be in conversations again, and we'll be like, whoa, where did this come from? And it was always in him. I think the past few years have just been really rough for him, concerning all his family history and just drama he's had to deal with in his personal life.
Honestly, that's fair. And I also like the Timberwolves. I just don't have them that high. I think that the Grizzlies are a better team. I think an underrated pickup for the Grizzlies was getting Jarrett Culver from the Timberwolves. He's a guy who didn't really find his footing, didn't really find his place in the league on the Timberwolves, but could really blossom on this young team. And also, they picked up Zaire Williams at number 10 in this year's draft. And I think he's a guy, sort of an X-factor player, either going to boom or bust. But either way, he's just another piece. And John Morant, he might be an all-star next season. And I think that you sort of overstate the loss of Jonas Valanciunas. So, yeah, I have the Grizzlies at 9 and then the Timberwolves at 10.
Okay. So, going to my 10 seed, I have the Grizzlies. So, it's kind of just a flip-flop. So, I'm cool with that. We don't really need to discuss much. But what do you have at your 11 seed?
Rockets. Originally, I had them at the 8th seed making the playoffs. But then I was like,
that's
okay.
Insane.
Maybe I'll put them down to the 10th seed. And then I put them down to 11. I have the Rockets at 11.
Okay, I have the Pelicans at my 11.
You just are a bigger believer in Zion.
I think the team is making very poor decisions. This is not an issue of the players themselves, but more so an issue of management. I think that they could definitely have trouble down the road for this team, but I still have faith that Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson will be able to make them the 11 seed, which is sad to think about. But the world, the NBA is a lot more loaded than it used to be. You need a lot more firepower now than you used to need. So they're not going to get it done like they might have 10, 20 years ago. But I still have faith in Zion. I still have faith in BI. I think they'll be able to win some games. I think the biggest issue for this team is their lack of ability to close out games, which you saw last year. Which is why I think they even finish this low and don't get into the play.
I sort of agree with those points. I just think that Zion's health is, again, going to be an issue. And I'm super big on the Rockets. Like, I had them making the playoffs, and they might make the playoffs because I love the youth on this team. They have so many fun players, so many, like, just explosive players. Jalen Green, KPJ, Alperen Şengün, Christian Wood. There's so much talent, and you have John Wall, who they might be able to get some pieces for that. Imagine adding a Ben Simmons into this equation. That makes this a scary team, and I'm a big fan of the Rockets. I don't think they have it in them this season because there are more established teams and younger teams who have been on the cusp for longer, like the Timberwolves, but I think they're going to be really close, and it might just come down to a few games that they lose at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's fair. I had the Rockets at my 12 spot, winning 37 games, so I think that's pretty fair.
Yeah, and then you want to just list off the next three.
Yeah. I have Kings, Thunder, Spurs.
Okay, I have Kings, Spurs, Thunder. We don't really have to go into it that much.
Yeah, I think we need to talk about the details between why the Spurs and the Thunder should be interchanged. No, but I think we should just move into the play-in. But sorry to all of our Thunder, Spurs, and Kings fans out there who really want to hear us talk about them. We just won't.
If you want us to talk about them, get a better team. I'm sorry.
If you want us to talk about them, make JJ Redick will get on the podcast, and then we'll have that talk.
There we go.
Yeah. But let's start with the Eastern Conference play-in. To remind people how the play-in works, if you don't exactly remember, it's the 7 seed versus the 8 seed and the 9 seed versus the 10 seed. And the winner of the 7-8 game goes to the 7 seed. Let's phrase it this way. The higher seed only has to win one game, and the lower seed has to win 2 games in a row. They have to win the first game and the second game, and they move on. And the higher seed only has to win the first one, then they move on. But between the 7 and the 8 seed, whoever wins gets the 7 seed. And then between
To just save on some confusion, just say like for the play-in, just skip the details really. Just say like, do you have any changes in the play-in to your
original standing? Sorry. I'll make it less confusing. But Yeah, I actually do have a few changes for my original standings. Let's see. Let me check if there's anything that changes for the East. And my seven, just to remind people, my 7-8 East matchup is Pacers-Celtics. I have the Pacers winning that. I'm very hot on the Pacers, as you might know.
Mike the Sabonis fan.
No, I think Jason Tatum has had some past issues with important moments, clutch shots. He's missed some. That's just a known fact. Jason Tatum hasn't really had that clutch gene. That's not to say he can't. I think he's the type of player who can, but he hasn't really just hit those big moment shots. Whereas I think this Pacers team is top heavy, yes, but that's not really an issue when it comes to the playoffs. That's more of a regular season issue, because you can play your starting five 40 minutes each and be fine, especially when they're young guys.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I have the Pacers winning that. And then in my 9-10 matchup, there is the it's the Sixers versus the Wizards. And I do have an upset here. I have the Wizards beating the Sixers, even though they're the 10 seed. The Wizards beating the Sixers. I'm not sure if I said it that way. I think I flipped it. But I do have the Wizards beating the Sixers, because I just think it's a little bit of a vengeance matchup from last year. They're going to want their revenge. And I just think that, especially if they don't get what they want back, that Joel Embiid is going to be possibly injury prone in this coming season. And I think that the Wizards are going to glue. I think it's going to work. And
so
then
who do you have between the Wizards and the Celtics?
The Celtics. I don't think that's much of a hot take. I think the Celtics will win that. In my Western Conference, or actually, how about you say your Eastern Conference?
And let's just do the Eastern Conference playoffs first and then go to the West.
Okay.
That play-in, I'll keep it short and sweet. I have no changes. I have the Knicks remaining at the 7th seed, the Sixers remaining at the 8th seed. So.
Okay, yeah. I had a few changes, so it was good to cover that. But moving on to my Eastern Conference playoff round one, I have 1-8 seed Nets versus Celtics, Nets in 5. So
okay.
You want to name your matchup? I don't think that's pretty self-explanatory. Nets are just a good team.
Yeah. So I had Nets versus Sixers, Nets in 4. I think that they're just going to dominate.
And then I have at the 2v7 Bucks versus Pacers. I have Pacers in 4. No, but in all seriousness, I have Bucks in 5. I think they could catch a game in there, but not much more.
Yeah, I have Bucks versus Knicks, Bucks in 6.
Yeah, I think that's a fair. I like this matchup, Heat versus Knicks at my 3v6, and I have the Heat in 6. I think that's a tough one, but I think that the Knicks lose that. I just think the Heat have too much veteran experience there.
Yeah, I mean, for my Heat matchup, Heat versus Celtics, this is sort of turning into a rivalry, you know? They've played each other so many times. I have the Heat in 7 because I just think Jason Tatum is going to go off, but the talent, Jimmy Butler, Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo, Oladipo, is just going to be too much for them.
Yeah, and so for my 4v5, I have the Hawks versus Bulls, which I think is going to be a fun matchup. Yeah. And I say Hawks in 7.
I said Bulls in 7 because I just think, I don't know. Just
I would love to see Bulls in 7. I would really love to see that. Being, you know, just like I'm a Lakers like draft picks fan, so like I'm a Lonzo fan, even though he hasn't been historically the best. But I just love to see the Bulls. They have Alex Crusoe. He has my heart.
That's actually I had like a little footnote on this. I said that the Bulls are gonna win off a game 7 buzzer beater from Alex Crusoe.
Easily, but I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna probably dunk on John Collins to win the game. It's gonna be just like a massive, just like that the one where he jumped over KD. That's like Zach LaVine's gonna take the shot. It's gonna bounce off. And, you know, Alex Crusoe is going to come flying in and slam it over the head of John Collins. And that's going to be, you're going to hear the buzzer sound and the stadium roars. And Alex Crusoe is the victor.
And to the second round, the winner of the first round.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to the second round in the playoffs, I have the Nets versus Hawks in my 1v4 matchup. And Nets take that in five. That's not a question.
Mine was Nets versus Bulls. Nets in five as well.
My 2v3 matchup, I love this. Bucks v Heat. We're getting it again.
Me too. Oh my god.
I have Bucks in seven. I think that is a hard, hard fought matchup. Heat coming back with a vengeance from last year, being like, we aren't going down this easy. We aren't a fluke team. But I just think that the Bucks have a little bit more depth. But they don't have more depth, but just they're a little more overwhelming. And I think Giannis has improved on like being able to like pick apart defenses a little better.
Yeah, I mean that I definitely see that. I think that this is sort of gonna flip flop the other way, where it's like, oh, Giannis finally figured out how to counter the Heat's counter to him. I think now it's gonna be the Heat's turn to counter Giannis again. And I have Heat in seven. But I think this is gonna be a really close matchup.
This is gonna be great. I love that matchup. And then for my Eastern Conference Finals, I have Nets versus Bucks again, but I think Nets take it in six. I think the Bucks are going to get some games in there, but I honestly think that the ones that the Nets do win won't be close. They'll be blowouts, especially with this Nets team. You saw KD by himself was enough to compete, and I can't see the Bucks beating this team, knowing that if Kyrie Irving and James Harden are there, that's just like no chance. Just James Harden alone.
Think about it. They only got better. They added LaMarcus Aldridge. They added Paul Millsap. They added Patty Mills. They drafted Cam Thomas. Like, this team is so stacked.
Nick Claxton.
Yeah, Nick Claxton is still there. Blake Griffin. There's Joe Harris. There's so much talent on this roster.
Luke Kennard.
I don't think Luke Kennard is.
Did they move him now? Maybe
Kennard is on the Clippers, I think. But no, I had Nets.
What are you talking about?
I had Nets in six. Okay. Remember, yeah. The Clippers handed a bag to Luke Kennard.
He's on this. I'm like 99% sure.
Well, you're going to be 100% wrong.
Luke Kennard is. Why is it not telling me where he is?
On the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, you're right. Why did I think before? Okay. My bad. I don't know.
Anyways, we both have Nets in finals. Let's move on to the West. This has been like the longest episode of all time.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. Not sure viewers will enjoy it.
I don't know if anyone has made it this far, but kudos to you if you did. Let's go.
West.
All right.
Western play-in tournament. Yeah.
Did you have any changes?
Let me see. Let me check really quickly. In my 7v8 seed, yes, I do. It's the Clippers versus the Blazers, and I have the Blazers at the 8 seed winning that. I think Dame would pop off in that matchup, and I just think, yes, it's going to be a matchup between superstars Paul George and Dame going off, but I just think Dame time is a real thing, and Dame would close to that. And then in my 9v10, I'm going to just stick with my Timberwolves winning that, and then I say the Clippers end up winning against the Timberwolves. So I just flip-flopped my Blazers and Clippers. Not Blazers for seven, Clippers for eight.
All right, cool. And for me, I just kept it solid, you know. Blazers seven, Mavs eight, and just kept it at that.
All right. So my round one of the playoffs, I have Jazz versus Clippers. I say Jazz in five. I think Jazz, they're going to do great in this matchup, especially – without Kawhi there, we saw what the Jazz were able to do.
Wait, are you talking about what happened last season though? It was Clippers in six without Kawhi.
Yeah, I know. I know. No, I'm not reconsidering this. I think the Jazz will take this matchup. I think the Jazz will do it in five. I think the Jazz are gonna come back with a little bit of a vengeance. Donovan Mitchell especially. We saw what happened last year, which is why I think the Jazz are gonna come back stronger. They learned from that.
Fair enough. I mean, mine is a different situation. Jazz versus Mavs. I have Jazz in six. I think the Mavs are going to put up a valiant effort. But I just don't think they're really going to, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to handle the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell.
At my 2v7, I have Warriors Blazers, which I think is a fun one just simply because it's a Steph Dame matchup. But I say Warriors in five. There's no chance. The depth difference is just too much, and the Warriors just you know, I mean, Steph is a better player than Dame, put it simple, period. And especially since Steph has the help and Dame doesn't, I have to give it to the Warriors. So in a quick nutshell.
Yeah, mine was the Suns versus Blazers. And upset alert, I have the Blazers beating the Suns in six. I think that these new
that
look
crazy.
These new look Blazers, whoever's going to be on that team, you know, this is Dame's last hurrah in Portland, maybe. And so I think that, you know, Dame, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, whoever they get on the team.
Rudy Gobert.
They bring Monte Ellis out of retirement, throw him on the team. Who else did they put on the
Ben team? Wallace was a Hall of Fame inductee this year. I think that's a great choice for the Blazers.
Pau Gasol comes out of retirement with Marc Gasol, and they play on the team. And these new look Blazers are going to beat the Suns in six. Hot take, but you got to have some.
What is your real take?
No, I'm serious. I have the Blazers in six.
You actually do? Okay. I think that's definitely a hot take. But my 3v6, I have Suns versus Mavs. I think this is going to be a hard-fought battle. I just think this is like kind of like that Clippers-Mavs situation where it was kind of just Luka versus the world, and he just fought his heart out, but it wasn't enough. And I have Suns in seven. I just think Luka will play incredibly. Like, I could see Luka having like a KD-esque 50-point triple-double game where he literally just does everything humanly possible on the floor. Like, I just can see that happening.
Luka,
I just don't think it's enough. I just don't think it's enough to beat the Suns by himself.
I mean, fair enough. I have the Nuggets versus Lakers. Lakers in five. I think not having Jamal Murray, it's going to be tough. Lakers are going to come to play. They're not going to mess around this postseason, and they're just going to make quick work of the Nuggets.
My 4v5 is also Lakers versus Nuggets. Lakers in five, so don't even need to explain.
Same logic. I have Warriors-Clippers. Which I think you had as a matchup as well, right?
I had Warriors-Blazers.
Oh, Warriors-Blazers, my bad. But I think Warriors-Clippers is going to be Warriors in five, but I don't think PG can do it alone. And I think that the Warriors are just going to sort of dismantle the Clips. And, that's what I had to say.
Yeah, that's fair. Moving on to the second round, I have the Jazz versus Lakers. It's my 1v4, and I say Lakers in five. I think that the Lakers dismantle this team. I think that they'll have their team figured out by this point, and they are going to be just as much of a threat as the Nets. So I just think that's a simple one.
I had the Jazz versus Warriors, but I had the Warriors in five. I think Steph and Clay are just going to dominate. And I think they're going to expose Rudy Gobert. They're going to force Gobert out to the perimeter, playing that small ball, and just really make short work of them.
Yeah. And my 2v3, I have the Suns versus Warriors. I have Warriors in six. I think this one, maybe some people would disagree with, but I think Warriors, again, just never underestimate Splash Brothers. Draymond Green, this is a great team, and I think they're going to outshoot the Suns, and they're going to play better defense.
Yeah, I think I would take the Warriors there as well. My matchup on this side of the bracket is Lakers versus Blazers. I got Lakers in five. They dominate the Blazers every time they play. And I don't think, you know, Ben Wallace and 50-year-old Pau Gasol will be any match for 50-year-old LeBron James and 90-year-old Rondo.
And Dwight Howard and Carmelo
Anthony. Yeah, in the retirement home.
Yep.
Western Conference Finals. I think we both have Lakers-Warriors, right?
Yes, I do. I have Lakers in six.
I have Lakers in seven. I mean,
I would love to go to game seven games.
That would be so fun. I think, like, Lakers, you know, you can never count out LeBron. And I think Anthony Davis is going to have a postseason run similar to that of his 2020 championship run. And so I don't think that the Warriors really have a great answer for AD. So I think he's really going to be the X factor in this series. And I think that's what's going to push them over the top.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I didn't really think that matchup with AD, the issue they're going to have there. But I just thought overall that Lakers are just going to be dominating just in general. I think they're going to definitely have some issues in that backcourt, but the front court's just better. So, moving on.
Finally, we've made it to the finals.
Lakers-Nets. I said Nets in seven. I don't.
Lakers
I don't...
in six, baby. Let's go.
Do you actually have Lakers in six?
Yes.
Man, I just don't see the world where the Lakers beat the Nets. If they're both healthy, if they're both fully healthy, assuming both teams are fully healthy, I just think the Nets outperform the Lakers. And I think that's
Westbrook is going to dunk on Kyrie's head.
Okay, I think it's simply because not only because of just the star there. Yeah, let's just talk simply about star power. Every single one of those stars on the Brooklyn Nets has the ability to shoot in any way they want. They're just going to get it done. Whereas the Lakers are a lot more reliant on one of the guys to get it done. Whether it's most likely going to be Anthony Davis.
I think that the Lakers, you're true, you're right. Okay, what you're saying is correct. But I think that the Lakers are just a much more physical team. They're much more imposing. They have a much stronger interior presence. And I think that's going to cause a lot of issues. So, yeah, that's I think that's a good place to end it. I mean, we covered the whole season. We had different champions, but Lakers Nets in the finals. We'll have to see how our predictions pan out. This was a really fun episode.
I think my prediction's a little more realistic, considering that, you know, I'm being an unbiased from a Laker fan standpoint here.
I'm not biased. I'm being an objective basketball observer. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay.
But anyways, I can't wait to see the Lakers raising up the trophy next season, because my predictions will be 100% accurate. This is a fact.
I do hope, but not sure. All right. Thank you very much for listening.
We'll see you in the next episode next week. Bye.